Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on The Headline. I'm Brandon Waltons, the managing editor at Texas Scorecard. We're talking about a few of the big stories going on across the state of Texas that we've got up at texasscorecard.com. In just a moment, I'll be joined by Michael Quinn Sullivan, our publisher, to talk about our new effort, Decision Texas, looking at what else? The governor's race, the big race here coming up on March 1st. And after that, I'll be joined by Robert Montoya, our investigative reporter, to talk about new developments in the story that you will not believe. Texas military, National Guard troops not being paid, even though they're being deployed down there on the border as part of Governor Abbott's Operation Lone Star. We'll talk with him about what exactly that means. But first, some of the big stories this week. One that captivated a lot of attention this week was Katy ISD. Katy ISD, of course, being the school district in Southeast Texas, by Houston, requiring, according to parents, a third grade class to show a COVID vaccination or proof of a negative test in order to come back to class. Well, parents who decided not to do that were told that they'd have to keep their kids home for 10 days, even though CDC guidelines, and they change every single second, it seems, right now say that you really only need to stay home for 5 days if you're sick. Now, this sort of story had brought a lot of reaction from parents inside that district who were very, very angry. A Katy ISD spokesperson told Texas Scorecard that the 10-day stay-at-home period, well, they were just following Texas Education Agency guidelines. That there's no, even though there's no longer any recommended quarantine period by the CDC for vaccinated individuals, unless they develop symptoms. Well, part of this story about vaccine mandates that we're even seeing in schools here in Texas, part of it became big news on Thursday when the Supreme Court of the United States struck down President Joe Biden's mandate on COVID vaccines through OSHA. Okay, that mandate required that all employers with 100 or more employees require that their employees have the COVID vaccine. Are you following that? Basically, any large employer, you had to make sure your employees had the COVID vaccine or else they'd have to test weekly on their own dime. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 decision, struck that down, but in a 5-4 decision at the same time, said that healthcare workers, nurses, doctors, people that were being subject to these COVID vaccine mandates almost from the very beginning, will be required to get the vaccine. That mandate was upheld. Now, all of this is garnering some attention from lawmakers. You had State Representative Matt Schaefer, you have Matt Rinaldi, who is the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, saying that these decisions now underscore even more the necessity for a fourth special session to look specifically at vaccine mandates. Now, so far, Governor Greg Abbott has been hesitant to do this. He has said that he's been waiting on the courts. Now the court has ruled. They have said that some vaccine mandates are okay. By the way, you have major businesses that, regardless of whether or not there's a federal mandate or not, are going to require their employees to get the vaccine or already are requiring their employees to get the vaccine or else face termination. And so with this Supreme Court decision out, it remains to be seen what this means for a fourth special session. But certainly, as we have had up at texasscorecard.com this week, an exclusive interview with Chairman Matt Rinaldi of the Republican Party of Texas, that push from the party is going to continue until they are called back to Austin and finally put into law a ban on COVID vaccine mandates once and for all. Now, talking about statewide news, I mentioned it in texasscorecard.com. We've got a new push here in the last 6 weeks or so until voting for the governor's race begins in the Republican primary. Decision Texas. Okay, we're taking a look at these races. We're putting a big focus on them. And joining me and joining all of us here at Texas Scorecard in that endeavor is our publisher, Michael Quinn Sullivan. Michael, thank you for joining us on The Headline today.
Thanks. New time.
New time.
Better content.
New time. Better
Except
time.
For me.
Yes. No, it's yeah, same Brandon, same Michael, but, you know, nicer, newer time. It's
there you
nice.
Go. Yeah.
So I talked about it. You know, the governor's race, we're obviously now with the holidays behind us, I think all Texas voters are starting to, okay, let me look at the ballot. Let me see who I'm going to be voting for whenever we have the Republican primary starting up. That starts up on February 14th. Election day is
30 days.
Yeah.
You're now less than 30 days from the polls opening on Valentine's Day, the first day of early voting.
It's hard to believe, with election day being on March 1st. And probably the most important one, or certainly the one that is garnering the most attention or should garner the most attention, is that name at the top, which is the governor's race. Governor Greg Abbott has numerous opponents this time, a big difference from previous elections where there were only a couple kind of less than serious challengers, I would say, on those ballots. Now he's got a number of candidates that are funded, that have a following, that are showing up to events. And this really, really changes the way that this election, I think, is going to look like in the next several weeks.
Yeah, well, and look, I would go a step further and say, I don't think this is not just the most important election in Texas. This is probably the most important election in the United States in 2022, the election of the governor of Texas. And I think a lot of folks, their minds, because they've been programmed to think this way, our minds rush to the November election. The November election is a rubber stamp in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. In most races, up and down the ballot, the November election is an afterthought because the primary is where the decisions are made. Now, talk about statewide offices. Mm-hmm. They're not defined districts and things. But even then, a Democrat has not, you and I talked about this yesterday, a Democrat has not won statewide office in Texas for 28 years. And a Democrat is not going to win office statewide in Texas in 2022. They're just not. They're not. Mm-hmm. You see that by the sheer number of Democrats who had no interest in putting the name on the ballot to run statewide in Texas. The sheer number of Democrats who didn't want to be running for re-election with Joe Biden in the White House, all these kind of things. So the most important election is not November, but the gubernatorial primary. The Republican gubernatorial primary nomination is the most important, which is why we've got our Decision Texas section on the website, where everything about that gubernatorial race, everything about the issues at play there can be gathered up in one place, decisiontexas.com, where folks will go to keep up with what's happening in that race. Because if you're not paying attention to the Republican primary, if you're not participating in the Republican primary, you're not picking the next governor of Texas. And so your choice is not, someone besides Beto. No. In Texas in 2022, you get to vote for who you absolutely prefer to be the governor of Texas. Not who you're settling for, but who you actually prefer. Then in November, vote for the Republican. Whoever the Republican is going to win in November, but in the primary, pick the Republican who best exemplifies your values. That should be what every Texan's focusing on as they make this big decision for Texas and for the rest of the country.
Mm-hmm. And as part of that coverage, we have started doing now, we are going to continue doing throughout this election cycle, some updates on Facebook Live. Okay, if you follow us on Facebook, Texas Scorecard there, where periodically throughout the week, throughout the upcoming weeks, when we get kind of news, when we're sorting through it, we'll go ahead and tune in live and catch folks up on that. Yesterday, we actually had an interesting story that came on our desk that morning of Governor Abbott hosting a fundraiser in a rather interesting location. Go ahead and take a look at this clip from yesterday's Facebook Live.
Meanwhile, I know they just had a debate recently, several weeks ago, that I went to actually in Wise County with some of these Republican challengers to Abbott. Of course, Governor Abbott was not there. This has seemed to be a trend where he is not showing up to these debates, these forums where his challengers are and where the voters are. Right. They're asking questions. And we got a little bit of clarity as to perhaps where he is spending his time this week. We've seen an invitation here for a fundraiser later this month on the 24th that Governor Greg Abbott is hosting in Orange County. No, not the East Texas County with Beaumont and all that, but Orange County, California.
Yeah. And look, I mean, this is pricey stuff. Apparently, the governor and his folks really think that Californians really want him to stay on as governor of Texas because they've got, co-host at $25,000. If you just want a ticket to the dinner reception, it's $5,000. But, as kind of a, what makes the $25,000 really worth it is that if you pay the $25,000, you will get a signed copy of the governor's book, which I think you can get for like $19.99 on Amazon or something.
Yeah, but kind of a surprising thing. And look, this is something that happens sometimes in campaign
season. Everyone goes out, raise money anywhere they can. It is funny, though, you look at one of the biggest hits that you see made on Democrats
in Texas is, oh, they're going out to California to raise money. This was kind of funny to see the governor doing it now himself. Mm-hmm. No doubt Alan West and Don Huffines and Chad Prather and all those guys are getting money from people who live in other states. But this is a little extreme, it seems like.
It's certainly interesting to see the governor. I mean, I'm still amazed by it. Going out and fundraising in California with $25,000 a plate.
But you get the free book, Brandon.
You get,
the free signed book. So it's worth it for those Californians, I guess.
One more story that we actually did talk about on that Facebook Live. If you haven't checked it out, I really encourage y'all to check that out. It has been this new wave of censure resolutions coming for Governor Greg Abbott. This week you had the Wise County GOP up in North Texas issue a resolution against the governor, a censure resolution saying that he's violating Republican Party of Texas principles on numerous issues, including vaccine mandates, not promoting the priorities of the party, etc. And this could potentially be the start of a new wave of these for him.
Yeah, and look, I mean, you're using a very important modifier there, a new wave, another wave, I think it's a second ago, where this is Greg Abbott's been here before. Mm-hmm. Back in 2020, heading in 2021, he was censured not by, no offense to my friends in Wise County, but a small county. Mm-hmm. He was censured by some of the biggest Republican counties in the state, Tarrant County, Denton County, Montgomery County, some of these others around the state, where they censured him based on his actions during the pandemic, mm-hmm. shutting down the state's economy. I think the governor is now kind of trying to retcon history to say he didn't actually do that. Well, no, he did, as well as the mask mandates and the other things. So he's already gone through these county parties saying, we don't have confidence in this guy's leadership. He's not representing the values of the Republican Party. And it'll be interesting to see if the governor responds to this and if, as you say, are there going to be other counties mm-hmm. that have had enough?
Could potentially be a trend. Thank you so much for covering that with us, Michael.
Yeah.
As Republican primary voters potentially lose confidence in the governor, so too are a growing number of National Guard troops who are reporting that they haven't been paid, even though they've been down at Texas's southern border as part of Operation Lone Star. I caught up earlier with our own investigative reporter, Robert Montoya, to talk about updates in that situation. Check it out. A few weeks ago, we had Robert Montoya, our investigative reporter, here to talk about some reports that people in the National Guard on Operation Lone Star were not being paid. Now, honestly, I have to say, I thought that after a few weeks, that problem would be taken care of. And yet, as the latest installment of this investigation has revealed, that is far from the case. Robert, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Brandon. No one likes to be get a late paycheck. I mean, I've been there, but imagine being a soldier. You're not getting paid on time, and it's because of bureaucratic turnover and inexperience.
So run us through this for folks who may not have seen the story, may not have seen what has happened. You've got a lot of National Guard's people that have been sent to the border by Governor Greg Abbott that are complaining, reporting anonymously, a lot of them, that they're actually not getting paid right now.
Right. So, again, for context, in March of last year, Governor Greg Abbott surged the Texas National Guard to the border, what's called Operation Lone Star. In October, a source told us that soldiers were not getting paid on time. As you said, last month we reported that after obtaining internal state communications, we were able to confirm that indeed there are a number of Texas soldiers who have not been paid on time.
So the big question is, I think in a state like Texas, how does that happen? How does it happen that people don't get their paychecks?
Well, according to the internal communications at the Texas Comptroller that we attained through a Public Information Act request, it appears the source of the issue is a bureaucratic turnover and experience at the payroll office of the Texas Military Department.
Mm-hmm. And so there's just complete errors being made there. I mean, you also have in your report that we have up this week that it's not just people not getting paid, but some people are even getting paid the wrong amounts.
Correct. A new source, different from the one that approached us in October, communicated with us recently saying that there are soldiers who are receiving paychecks, but the amounts keep fluctuating. Mm-hmm. And there are a number who aren't receiving pay stubs. They even know what amount they should be getting.
What effect is this having on the soldiers themselves? I know we've seen some reports that they've started a Reddit where people are posting sort of anonymously their experiences. And it seems to have certainly had an effect on the morale of the troops down there.
Correct. The sources that I've spoken to have said that morale is bad. And as you said, they've also started a subreddit called Operation Lone Star. And, you know, the complaints, anyone can read it. It's very sad to see mm-hmm. us treating our soldiers this way. And also, recently, it's been reported that there have even been suicides within the Texas National Guard.
What are we seeing from state leadership on this right now? Ultimately, the National Guard reports to Governor Greg Abbott.
Correct. Well, Governor Abbott has, while he has not responded to any of our inquiries about has this problem been solved or even how widespread is it, he has publicly said very recently that all pay issues are resolved. However, our source disputes that. In fact, our source recently told us that there's still soldiers waiting for paychecks from October.
This isn't the only issue that seems to be plaguing the National Guard right now in Texas. You even have reports that that soldiers are being forced to get the COVID vaccine or leave. And this seems to be kind of a trend we're seeing coming out of the Texas Military Department.
Correct. And even on this issue, you'd be surprised to think that, as someone said, you'd expect the federal government to do this. Mm-hmm. But in regards to like just the size and scope of Operation Lone Star itself, I spoke recently with retired Sergeant Major Jason Featherston, who was a former senior advisor to Texas Military Department. And he said that, you know, with the size of the troops that we brought on for Operation Lone Star, he said Texas Military Department has onboarded that number before, mm-hmm. but not for this long. And in the end, he believes that this operation is just poorly planned.
Interesting. Well, we'll see as you continue that investigation just how far this goes.
Correct.
Thank you, Robert. Well, we will continue to follow that issue very closely. I want to thank everybody for joining us today on The Headline. A few quick announcements. I want to let folks know that Texas Scorecard is hiring. You can head to texasscorecard.com/opportunities to see some of the open positions we have here at Texas Scorecard. As well as folks 18 to 25, encourage them to check out our Texas Scorecard Fellowship for the summer and fall of 2022, as well as the spring of 2023. For our planners, you can go to texasscorecard.com/fellowship. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Have a great weekend.